Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ilona Europa, accent on. Ha! I don't know what to say. Everybody probably thinks, okay, she has some unusual guest. And I will say, yes, we have magician in our studio. Then again, everybody who listens to our show say, I wish we can see him. Yes, you can see us, because in 50 minutes, in 1 hour, really, please, everybody who listens to Accent on Channel 1 from 6 till 7 Pacific Time, please switch to video channel on LA Talk Radio. We will be there. We'll be there live. We'll be, what can I say? We'll be on a camera. And we have in a studio also, outside of beautiful gentleman, a really great looking man, and like I said, magician. He can make magic disappear, magically disappear every trouble in my life. I ask him for that, but I don't know still his answer. But also we have his PR lady, I think, Barbara, my dear friend. And maybe, you know what, instead of me talking about my guest will say hi to everybody by themselves. Hi, Michael.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What is your name?
It is Michael Grandinetti.
Everybody repeats one more time with Michael.
Michael Grandinetti.
I'll take it. A big, long Italian name.
Woo-hoo! That's true. And you really are handsome.
You are very kind. I just want to come here every day.
Handsome helps in entertainment business. Do you think?
You know what? I will take your kind compliment, and I hope it helps.
Yes, it's helping. We had a long 20 minutes beautiful conversation, which mostly I talked.
It was great. I got to know you have an amazing story. Someone needs to come here and interview you. If people don't know your story,
yeah.
I need to. One of these days, you have to be interviewed.
My story is weird, but I feel like I know you even more because, like I mentioned, I was married to a magician.
You have magic experience for sure.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know this coming in here today. I did not know this.
Then I was very, very excited when, hi, Barbara, again.
Hello.
Closer to the microphone, when Barbara mentioned that we'll be having you on our show, because I think, like, I understand understand your business, and I understand your passion. I understand your devotion to this art. And also, yeah, my ex-husband disappeared, like, perfect magic. He just, boom, after 25 years disappeared. We never saw him again. But fact is that magic is still something that I remember, and I will remember forever as the most beautiful thing that I learned about him and about magic. And we are, with my daughter, really big fan of magic. And we had many, many times good dinners and meetings in Magic Castle?
Magic Castle, yes.
And that is big part of my life, or big part of my memory, which I say, not everything is ugly. This part is very nice. And I'm so welcoming you to my show. One more time, everybody says out loud your name. Our magician in our studio name is
Michael Grandinetti.
This is cool.
Is great.
Grandinetti.
I love this.
Grandinetti.
And he is grand. He is a grand master illusionist.
You cannot buy this name.
No, perfect.
No, I got real lucky. It's a good showbiz name, I think. People ask me, is that your real name? And it is.
Okay.
It is.
And having a magician who cannot perform on the radio is a little tricky, but I think you need to just talk to us and just paint the vision, paint the picture of your life and the way how you decided that that's what you'll be doing hopefully whole life.
Yeah.
I know you're successful. I know, and you will tell us more. But you need to paint somehow the visuals in our heads. And I'm sure I will help you, and you will help us to understand the beauty of this business that you are in.
Yeah, it's an amazing business. And, you know, I'm really lucky. I found what I love to do early in life.
You know, how early?
I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And everybody, you know, I think everybody has that thing. You were telling me how you love music, and you know, and you're telling me some of your daughter's passions. And everybody has that thing. For me, it's magic. And because I found it so young, like a lot of kids, I got a magic set for Christmas, but it enabled me to, it gave me a lot of time
That's
to learn it.
And that you got really magic me. Trick? For
yeah,
the
I got a magic set for Christmas.
Everybody runs to the store, buy a magic trick for your children. Then maybe one day you'll have a magician.
It could happen. It could happen. And it was that was it. I was hooked. And I knew at 5 years old that this is what I wanted to do. And looking back on it, you go, did I really know at 5 years old? I mean, you kind of reflect on it. And I did. There was never in my life a point where I wanted to do anything but magic. So really, that little magic set shape my whole life.
Okay, but a 5 years old child sitting and trying to understand written direction on the little tiny, you know, whatever somebody bought you and say, do or make money disappear or do another crazy stuff. Somebody needed to explain you how to, because you didn't read right away. How did you learn in an early age to just work magic or magic on people? Work magic on people.
That's a good question. At five, it's really difficult to read and understand. I have an older brother. I had an older cousin who came over and kind of read it and kind of demonstrated the magic for me. And I was very quick at picking it up. Once I saw what it was, I was able to kind of duplicate what I saw.
That's crazy. Do you think you have, like, in past life somebody that loved magic before? Is no connection?
Well, I'll tell you, there's my grandfather on my dad's side, and I come from a really great, really supportive family. But my grandfather on my dad's side, he loved magic. He was an amateur magician, never performed professionally, but like I think a lot of grandfathers had little tricks with them, and
I remember
he would do little things. And
the same happened to my ex-husband.
Same thing.
Grandpa brought these things to his life, and
I wish he could see our show now. He didn't really have a chance to see me become a magician. But yeah, that's the only family history that I really had with magic was my grandfather. But he loved it.
Okay,
loved
now it. Then 5 years old, successful magician. Then let's move you 5 years later.
Michael, do you remember your first magic trick?
I remember my first magic show. My first magic show at 5 years old was in kindergarten. I took that magic set into show and tell for my kindergarten class, and I was very nervous. If you can imagine a very shy 5-year-old kid getting up in front of his class and doing this magic set for the first time. And the tricks in the set were very standard magic tricks, you know, making a colored handkerchief disappear, making these little objects disappear from these little boxes. It was very, very simple stuff. But I was very nervous. And I remember I got up in front of the class, and I should tell you, right before I got up, a girl got up, and she had the same magic set.
No.
So I thought, I'm sunk. This is it. It's over. But for some reason, I got up there. I was comfortable. The teacher smiled. The kid smiled. I got a positive response, and I thought, this is great. When you get that kind of response, especially when you're, like I said, a shy little kid, you go, I'm hooked. That's it.
Okay. So, okay. 10 years later.
10 years later.
What's happened?
So 10 years later, I'm in high school. I'm 15, and I'd worked constantly up to that point, going to the libraries throughout Pittsburgh, getting every book I could on magic. I found a magic store in downtown Pittsburgh that every Saturday my dad would drive me to, and I would spend hours and hours and hours looking in this magic store for all the latest stuff.
Wow.
I started to do local shows around Pittsburgh when I was about 12, and I was very goal-driven. By that point, by the time I reached my teens, for me, it was all about setting goals and achieving them, then setting the next goal and achieving that. I became very purpose-driven in my magic. When I was 15, 16, something interesting happened. One of the teachers in my high school came to me and said, I hear you're a magician. I said, this is true. And he said, I direct the band, the high school band, and we do halftime shows. Would it be possible to make somebody disappear in one of our halftime shows? I said, of course. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I told him yes. I figured out a way to do it. I designed the illusion. We had it built in the school wood shop. Like, the other students were building this thing during school hours, and we did it in the halftime show at the high school football games, and it was the first big thing I did. And once again, it kind of was very similar to that kindergarten experience where you get the response for that and you get the support for that and you go, this Amazing. Is what I want to keep doing. This is what I want to keep doing. I was lucky because I came from a family that was incredibly supportive, and I came from a community that was incredibly supportive, that always backed me, always made me feel like I could do it, and always gave me opportunities like that to do it.
Show something imagination says you can do.
Oh, yeah. If I hadn't had that support around me,
yeah.
I don't know what would have happened.
A lot of people will poo-poo on this type of hobby in the beginning, say, oh, come on, do something better with your time. Because one thing's what probably everybody understands, the magic takes time. Learning magic and, you know, close up. I don't know, what do you prefer? Do you like big, faraway shows with big kaboom, or do you like people look at your hands and just seeing stuff disappear? Because that's, in a way, magic has so many faces. And I don't know your show. I would love to learn. We all want to learn what we can expect in your show. And you'll be talking, Barbara will be talking about your upcoming shows. But can you say what is the best, you think? What you are the best in? Close hands magic, or are you the better of, or, you know, on the stage? Are you?
What am I the best? I think that's for the audience to answer, but I do think what I love to do is I love them both equally. I started with close up magic, and I love close up magic. I wish I could do some for your listeners. I'll show you something when we're done here. I have it with me all the time. I just enjoy it. But my dream was to do the big stage show with the large illusions, making people float in the air, sawing people in half, and doing all the big stuff. I love that. I love it. So I love them both equally. I've got to tell you, they're both just as fun. But my goal was always to have the big show.
Big show. Okay. And we know that your goal is a reality right now, yes?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I get to live out my childhood dream. How many people get to say that, right?
I don't know, because you are pretty young. And I'm still, we need to get you slowly from like 10, 15 years old gentleman that you did this disappearing trick in halftime, you know. But we need to know what's happened next, because sounds like even when magic is what you knew that you would be doing hopefully all your life, you still wanted to educate yourself and get degree in college, yes?
Yes. Yeah, it was a long journey. It was, so I knew I wanted to go to college. I knew I had to go to college. It's very, very important. It's very important. So when I graduated from high school, I stayed local in Pittsburgh, and I enrolled in Duquesne University in their business program, because I knew, you know what? It's show business, right?
Yeah.
You have to have the show, but you have to have the business side.
Great, great.
So I really wanted to have a firm business background. And it turned out to be a definitely a good way to go, because when we get further in the story and I tell you about moving to LA, having the business background and learning how to sell yourself was and is essential.
Sell yourself. That's the words that people need to learn, because I think life is about selling yourself for everybody.
No matter what you do.
I think they're supposed to teach this in high school. I think it's supposed to be one of the first courses, you know, how to sell yourself and your abilities. But especially when we are talking entertainment, that you are fighting the best in the best. You are in LA. The best of the best are here. Anyway, we'll get a little bit break, and I'm thinking, okay, let's play something of Natasha Mira and Kid Genius. They both wrote the song. Now let's play the way we are.
Oh my gosh, there was a terrible
one. Someone told me that one day I had to be brave. Shelter my heart that I couldn't save. I've tried, but I've lost all my control. Shadows, the fear that rests in my veins takes over my mind and I go insane. I've tried, but somehow I can't let go. You say you love me, but then you leave me, and in the end you take it all away. How can you love me if you could leave me, and in the end there's nothing left to say? Tell me that you love me. Like it was a surprise, 'cause I saw the light in
heart that I couldn't save. You tried, but somehow still can't let go. And the shadows of fear that run through your veins takes over your mind and drives you insane. You tried, but somehow still lost control. Yeah, you said you loved me, but then you left me. How could you love me if you could leave me? If in the end there's nothing left to say, tell me that you love me the way I am. Tell me I wasn't a pawn in your greater plan. I can't act like it was a surprise, 'cause I saw the light dim in your eyes.
How proud I am of these two. I know them personally very well. Yay! Great, great, great job. Now, I think somebody needs to read a little bit what I got from you about you, because it's hard for you to tell people all your greatness. And my funky accent, I will try to read, if not Barbara can read. But what I got, I understand, with performances on national and international television in stadiums, arenas, casinos, theaters around the country, with Oscar-winning composers and symphony orchestras for NFL, halftime shows, and major sporting events, while surrounded by 70,000 people for Fortune 500 companies, and even at White House, Michael has made a name for himself around the world as an extremely talented and innovative illusionist. And entertainer. He started in NBC, the world's most dangerous magic. Well, I want to talk about that. Television special and CW's Master of Illusion. Lucky you, Sirius. And Pop Network's Don't Blink, Sirius. Oh, that's the toughest when you watch magic. You're like, I cannot blink. But then you blink and everything happens, okay? And then we have also, you've been featured in Fox and Bones, Sirius. What you were doing there, I need to know. And then Hollywood's Christmas Parade. And on CW Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, Sports Center, NBA on TNN. Everybody can read all of these things. Please, please, you know, because we are talking to magician of the grandioso caliber. We are not talking, oh, I want to be one, you know. He is living his dream and seems like things are working well. I would like to read everything, but I still like something with, Michael has recently honored to be the first illusionist ever invited to perform in the National Independence Day Parade in Washington, D.C. During the remarkable celebration of our country, Michael levitated a girl high above one of the floats as it moved down Constitution Avenue while a live audience of 250,000 people lined the street. How you didn't drop her? How did you do that? No, you. How do you do that? No,
you don't want to know. Trust me, you don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But come on, levitating lady, how high she was?
She was about 10 feet from the ground.
Crazy girl. She lets you to do that?
She trusts me.
That's the word that everybody's scared, especially in L.A. I trust me. Boom. No. Wow. Takes time to prepare her to be comfortable and trust you.
A lot of practice. We practice a lot. But by the time we did that, we'd rehearsed it for many, many hours. And that was a thrill. To be in Washington, D.C., it was a bright, sunny day. There were just hundreds of thousands of people waving the American flags and just happy and smiling. And
but this is not something that we expect to see parade and then just see a magic happen. I don't know if ever I
saw magic. It was different. It was definitely different for them, and that made it very exciting for me because I loved being able to take what I do and put it where it hadn't gone before. It made me very excited. So that's one of my favorite memories. I have a lot of favorite memories, but that's definitely one of my top favorites.
Okay, and I was reading these crazy things. All these NBCs, all this, you know, world's most dangerous magic, most dangerous. What did you do?
Oh, that was dangerous. Do you want to hear what
happened? Yes, we want to hear.
Okay, you tell me if you think this is dangerous. So I let them chain me to this frame. They chained my wrists, they chained my waist, they chained my legs. And on either side of me, there were these two panels with 30 foot long razor sharp steel spikes.
Oh, come on. Oh, was your mother watching you? Come on, mom.
She kinda had her
hands. Do you know what your son is doing when you are cooking good dinner?
She was nervous, but I didn't tell you the worst part now. The spikes were set to come in. There was an hourglass, and when the hourglass ran out, the spikes were released, and they came at me at 50 miles an hour. 50 miles an hour. And if that wasn't dangerous enough, you ready for this? They lit the spikes on fire.
I want to cry.
And then they covered me with gasoline.
I want to cry.
Oh, my God.
So,
what have I gotten myself into?
You know, if I didn't get out in time, not only would the spikes come through and get me, but I'd go up in flames, on television. So it would have been pretty, pretty bad. But it was a thrill. It was very exciting. It was our first national television experience several years ago, and I survived. There's no extra holes here. So
okay, of course you cannot say the truth, but all the magic tricks, this type of magic, they are dangerous in a way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was no. The danger in that was real. The spikes were real.
Are you crazy?
No. But I'm determined to make my magic as exciting as I possibly can. And I felt that was something that would have the audience on the edge of their seats.
Yes.
Now, I try and be very smart with it. I have to tell you, we rehearse a lot, like I said, and we planned. Like, if something would go wrong, I knew within reason what I can do. I mean, I didn't want to get into serious trouble, but the danger was still incredibly real. I mean, it was incredibly real.
Oh, my gosh. Do you repeat this type of magic?
Only did it once.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, what about next TV shows?
So, I'm really excited. Right now we have Masters of Illusion airing on the CW. We're going to start, the third season is going to start up this summer. And every year we've kind of tried to outdo ourselves and come up with bigger and better and more interesting, more exciting illusions.
You said we again. Maybe people need to know why you're saying we. You talk...
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great question. Well, I have assistants. I have dancers. I have, illusion technicians that work with me and help set up all the illusions. I could never say I, because when you see me perform, it's really a team effort. It's a team effort. So from my whole,
what if somebody from your crew doesn't like you?
What if they don't like me?
Can they get you into big trouble?
They make them disappear.
Yeah, they disappear. No, I pick people I can trust. You have to pick people you can trust. Crazy. And also people who, you're going to enjoy working with. So we have a really good group who work really hard and that I trust to, when we're doing these dangerous things, I know they're watching real close so that if something doesn't look right, they're going to help me out if I need it.
Oh, gosh. And we were talking a little bit about starting family and children. Dad! Yeah. What, daddy? That's, you cannot take child watching you doing stuff like that. That's really, I know, I love it. I think it's amazing. And like we talked before, and Barbara, probably you agree with me, what for you magic means? What means this to you? When somebody says, oh, he's a magician, what is first that comes to your head? Do you believe people like that? Do you want to believe that the magician really can make things disappear or just in front of your eyes do something that we all like, that's impossible? And he did it, you know. Do you like magic?
I love magic, of course. That's why I'm with Michael. And to me, the child in me, it seems so real to me. I can't imagine that it's not.
Yeah, to me too.
It just blows my mind. It's overwhelming.
The child, that's the word that I was using also when
and
we talked.
And I literally, my mouth is open when I see Michael perform. It's just, I can't believe that it's... It has to be real.
You know, yes, and is real. Really, things that they do, yeah, they have their own mysteries, but nobody knows how they do it, and just drives us crazy. Even when, like you mentioned, people can go on a Google or on a YouTube or something, they try to understand certain things. Still, when you face genius performer, you believe in magic.
Well, you know, I think people, and I'm really glad to hear both of you say that, because that's how you should watch magic. You know, I think people don't want to know. When people somehow stumble on how a piece of magic or an illusion works, I guarantee you they're disappointed. They will tell you, I guarantee you they'll say, you know, I really wish I did not know.
It's true.
Because it sucks all the amazement out of it. Yeah. And not many things in our everyday life give us that sense of amazement. It's, you know, magic provides people with a really rare experience and a really rare emotion. So okay. Preserving that's important.
But still, come on, you know, if somebody is great in what they do, even when you saw something before, you still coming back and say, I want to see what today the show will be like, what he can bring, that really I will be amazed that somebody can do something different. And having many magicians on the TV shows, and all of you try to also probably outstage each other, and because you... Do you ever know what somebody else will be doing, or you really come with your piece of the show to the TV show or something, say, okay, that is me, this is me, and you don't care what somebody else did before? Are you comparing your magic to somebody else?
No, I compete with myself. I think there's room in magic for many, many magicians, and there are a lot of magicians in the world with completely different styles. It's like music. There's so many musicians who are just completely different from each other. Magic's much the same. But for me, I've never gotten over that sense of being very goal-driven that I mentioned earlier. So I'm very, you know, I'm very strict with competing with myself. Okay. That's my main competition. Every year, making sure every year is better than the last, and every year my show is getting better than the previous show, and that's where my head is.
And when you were 5 years old, you purchased your trick.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, all what you're doing is this your imagination. Who is building the stuff in your head? Is this you? Or you really still, I don't want to say, you see something and you want to do this because you saw another magician doing stuff, said they would be good for my show, or everything what you do, what you are doing, your all magic performance is yours.
Yeah, you don't go to a store and buy this stuff.
I know.
That's for sure. So that's what I enjoy very much, is coming up with the ideas for the magic. And then we have there's a team of builders. There's builders here in Los Angeles. There's builders in Las Vegas. And, you know, I'll work with them over many, many months, basically bringing these ideas to life. And it's very challenging. I'll give you an example. We have an illusion right now that's being built in Las Vegas as we speak. I was just talking to the builder this afternoon before I came over to meet you. And we've been working on this piece now for 8 months. Yeah. 8 months. And it's still not where I need it to be. So we keep working on it and working on it and working on it. I have one piece in my show that took 7 years.
Oh my God.
To perfect. And it's in our show. You may have seen on our video, it's a piece where I walk through a steel wall. We have a big, tall, 7 foot tall, 4 foot wide piece of steel. And I walk through the center of it. And that took 7 years to work out. But I got to tell you, when we perform it and you hear the audience respond to it, it feels wonderful, because you know all the work that went into it and that paid off. So, yeah, I love that.
And, you know, and everybody say, oh, naturally, you're supposed to be in Vegas.
Magicians?
Yeah.
Vegas is definitely a place for magic, and you know, maybe someday we will. Right now, I enjoy taking magic to places where it hasn't been. You know, I enjoy the parades that we did. I enjoy taking magic to stadiums. We've done a lot of stadium shows, which I love. Taking magic to symphony orchestra shows. We perform with several symphonies around the country, which I love.
That's unusual.
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what, when you're standing up there doing magic or doing whatever it is you love to do, and you have those musicians behind you, and they're playing, you can't help but
and
feel
more grandioso.
Wonderful. It's like you're floating on the air for real. It's like you just feel wonderful when you're doing that.
And so classy, so elegant. You're adding
exactly.
class.
Yeah, that music is just, you know, it's one of my, I really enjoy that. So I'm having a really good time figuring out kind of what the next mountain is to climb. But, you know, certainly Vegas is on the set of things I want to do.
This will be great stuff for you for like longer. And build your name, the big face, the big magician. Oh, I love it. You know, I'm sure you'll be in Vegas then. We have no doubts about that. Okay, let's make a 2 minutes break for another song, and we will come back because I think we left over our interview when you were, I think, in college. I want to know, how did you move to L.A. and what made you to move? Lonely gentleman, gorgeous man in L.A. and fighting all demons here, all perspectives, whatever. Do you think L.A. is the town exclusively for you, or New York could be the second one? What is the place? New York, which town is the best for magic?
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, I'll tell you, I have no regrets coming to L.A. It has been, we talked about college, but really coming to L.A. was when I first got here, I was 22, and it was like an extension of college for me. I made sure in my mind I was like a sponge. I wanted to absorb and learn everything that I could. And I made sure I put myself in situations where I could learn from people, where I could watch people work, where I could study the best of the best when I was, again, starting from zero out here. And I have no regrets. I think L.A. is a fantastic city to come to.
Starting from zero because, magicians need to have staff to work with. But you said you moved to L.A. with, like, nothing?
Nothing. I graduated college. And I had already done. I had done some television at that point. We did the NBC special by that point. But literally, when you move from Pittsburgh to L.A., you suddenly become a very small fish in a very big pond. Yeah. It's very competitive, as you know. There's just a ton of people here all trying to do the same thing. Even geographically, you know, it is spread out, you know, very, very far. So you really, you're starting over. You're starting from scratch. So you've got to, you know, you've got to really work hard. I hit the ground running. I got here and I didn't waste time. I immediately started to work 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, making phone calls, going on meetings, again, trying to put myself in every situation that I could to take advantage of where I was. I figured, you know what, if I'm going to come all the way across the country and leave my brother and my sister and my parents and, you know, the friends I had back there and the business I had back there, if I'm going to come out here and do this, I'm going to make sure that I take advantage of being here and really, you know, absorb LA as much as I could.
Then really you did it all yourself, the whole beginning and startups. That's only you.
Yeah. I mean, there was no roadmap. There was nobody who said, here's what you do. It was just, okay, I'm in LA, what do I do?
Amazing.
So, yeah. So, but again, it goes back to setting the goals and being very proactive. I was not going to let any grass grow under my feet. I knew what I wanted to do. And to this day, I'm much the same. If there's a goal that I want, if I want to take magic to a stadium or if I want to take magic to anywhere, I feel just that same kind of fire in me that I did when I first got here, that I'm going to do this, I'm going to go after this, and it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But as long as you have that kind of, I think, persistence, that perseverance with whatever you're doing, whatever it is, I think that kind of gets you on the right path.
Wow, you can be talking to people and young people, you know, giving them advice how to achieve your dreams, because I know how hard you are working to become maybe one of the bestest that we have around, you know. And okay, you know, I think time for a little bit music because I have so many questions and I just need to order, make them in order. What we will sing? Happy, sad? What songs we do like it? Angry? Do you want rock? Do you want pop? Do you want...
Oh, we need something happy.
We need happy. But before happy, we need to really introduce a poem to our listeners. This is a great commercial for a very unusual bank, a financial institution who cares about artists also. Then let's really listen commercial for poem.
How would you like to own a financial institution? The Polam Federal Credit Union is a member-owned financial institution that serves exclusively the Southern California region with offices in Los Angeles and Orange. Like banks, Polam accepts deposits, makes loans, and provides financial services. The credit union is federally insured by the NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender. Unlike banks, Polem is nonprofit, which means better rates and lower fees, as well as great personalized customer service. After all, when you're a member, you're also an owner. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at polam.org. Polam Federal Credit Union, bringing the charm of Europe to Southern California.
Beautiful, Polam. Okay, right now let's play something happy and Eternal Kiss, Ilona Europa. Club Junkies UK, I love this song, people like this song, and hopefully that's a good one to pick us up. With Southern Kiss and Texas Fever and the night forever young, eyes and lips and body, it's your life to sing forever young. Southern Kiss and Texas Fever and the night forever young, eyes and lips and body, eternal kiss, eternal kiss. Eternal Kiss, for sure. But now we are talking still magic. Okay, Michael, you tell us, you know, what's going on right now. You have a future. We were talking a little bit about your past, and it's grandiose, it's big. Now, what you are working on? What is the next for you?
No rest in sight. It's so nice to sit here and calmly talk to you, because as soon as I leave, the kind of tornado starts again. I'm on the road a lot. We travel about 85 to 90% of the year. So even though I live here in LA, I'm not here as much as I like. But coming up within the next 2 weeks, we're doing two NBA basketball halftime shows, one in Milwaukee and one up in Oakland, California. So really excited about those. Those are a lot of fun because you're taking magic to, you literally, sometimes you're in these arenas, you're surrounded by 20,000 people watching the magic from every angle. So it's different and it's a lot of fun. And then the television show Masters of Illusion premieres June 3rd, which is a Friday night at 8 o'clock on the CW. And I hope you go watch. You got to tune in.
Oh, gosh. We were watching this for many, many years. All the big shows, magical shows. How do you do that? That was really sad.
And you don't want to watch shows. Don't watch
our
shows.
I don't like that. No more. No, I was disappointed. I didn't want to know, really. But I didn't want it. And then I stopped watching.
Yeah, don't take the fun out of it for yourself. Yeah. But if you're able to tune in this summer, I can't wait for you to see the new magic we've come up with. I'm really proud of these illusions we put into the show. I'll give you an example of one of them. So in one of them, you know, every year I've made somebody float in the air. The first year I levitated into the air. The second year I made one of my dancers float in the air. This year we figured, why don't we get somebody from the audience and give them that experience? So that's what we do. In one of the episodes, I get somebody from the audience and I make them float in the center of the stage, and the camera moves all around them.
Wow.
And you know, to watch them have that experience was you know, again, a lot of fun for me.
I know that you will be doing something maybe on our video show. Please don't levitate me. I hate
you don't want to float?
Height. No, I don't.
Even just a little bit?
My whole life is always flying above my head. I want to stabilize my life. No more floating.
Floating is out. Gotcha.
Okay, floating is out. Gotcha. But everybody who wants to see us and just know how Michael looks, and Barbara and myself, please switch to video channel on LA Talk Radio. We'll be there from 7 till 8 Pacific time. We have 15 minutes and everybody can meet us personally, okay, on camera. That's very, very cool. Okay, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi, baby. You know, we are seeing each other twice a year, maybe, and we are like the friends that never see each other.
I know, it's not enough.
But always when I see you, it's like, oh my gosh, you are my friend, but then I forget that you exist. You forget that I exist. Our children are in entertainment
business.
We're so proud.
Very.
And I know that your life, personal life, is very, very nice right now. We both have this woman cool, unusual life stories. And like, boo, boo, boo. No more in your life, yes?
No, just happy, happy tears.
I just love it. Okay. Then, Barbara, what are you doing right now?
Your
second name one more time.
Barbara Hollander.
And how we can find you if somebody wants to, after our great interview, talk to you, because you are the PR lady. You really are doing great stuff for a lot of people. But, okay, sorry. Do you have a website?
Not my own, per se, but, you know, they could find me through Michael. And then Signature Events is where I produce the silent auctions for nonprofits.
That's very interesting place. I was there, and I saw you working on very big charitable events. Can you explain us again? Because people are like, signature. Okay, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. We produce silent auctions for the small to the largest charities, from a small school to a Rotary Club, a chamber, or a huge nonprofit like Ronald McDonald House, Boys and Girls Clubs. And we just drive all over. We drove 3 hours to get to Brea to a Boys and Girls Club this past Friday evening. No, so it's a lot.
Then you are helping raising money.
We help raise money through the items that we procure.
That is so cool idea, because people always don't like to do charitable work so hard, because how can I make money? How can I raise money? But this is...
They call me.
They call you, and you
and
come
I
with
do all
goodies.
The work. Yep.
You come with this great stuff, and people are just buying, and some percentage, pretty big one, goes to the charity.
Yes, yes.
That's okay. Very, very cool. Outside of that, now you are working with Michael.
This
must be a challenge for you or not?
You know what? Maybe I have ADD. I think I go from one thing to the next. So it's actually very exciting. And I'm so honored to have been introduced to Michael and to be connected to him and to help book him. You know,
okay, that's the magical word.
And she's
booking.
Great. Yeah, Barbara is not only is she very talented at what she does, but as I was telling you, she's a good, hardworking, trustworthy person, and you know it's tough to find those people out there. So
yes, and for sure you are a few years in the same business because we know each other probably 4 years right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm living here for 5 years, so I met you shortly after.
Yeah, we met, and I know both our lives were very unusual parts there, but you really are establishing yourself very strongly in what you do, and the PR is right now in a way new stuff for you, or not?
With Michael, yes, I guess. Well, it's sort of a crossover in what I do with producing Silent Auctions. You know, I basically call people, and I establish a relationship on the phone as best as I can, and I get them to listen to me and trust me and present the product.
And they always ask you for next year. Next year is a lot of coming back businesses, how you call this, or you always need to look for another?
In the nonprofit world, there's not a lot of loyalty because people come and go, and so it's,
they're always looking for something else.
Interesting. So,
okay, now, L.A., now you are in Pittsburgh. We talk a little bit about your mommy and daddy. Maybe you tell us a little bit about your parents, because that's probably the most important, family, the most important part of your life. They supported you.
Oh, completely.
They miss you. And your daddy is Italian, I understand.
My dad is Italian.
Mommy?
She's Slovak. Oh. And, you know, they both were and are incredibly supportive. They saw how happy Magic made me. And there was never, you know, whatever they could do to help encourage making, you know, allowing me to follow my, you know, dream. I mean, just having that support behind you is, it's invaluable. It's invaluable. So
then say hi to daddy and mommy, and we'll say the same on the camera. And you have brother and sister.
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister, and we're a tight family. And you know that, again, really, it was a very solid foundation that I had, that I'm fortunate of to have had growing up. You know, so they were my first test audience. They were the first people I ran to say, hey, let me show you this trick.
Did they roll their eyes? Oh, gosh, again.
You know, they saw the same magic a lot. But
are you nervous when they're coming for your show?
When back then or now? Oh, you mean now if my family comes? No, I'm excited because I
you're,
you know,
a fighter.
I don't get a chance to see my family as much as I would like. So when they're out there and when they see it, I love it. It makes me very excited.
Okay, then if people want to contact you for new booking or just find out about your future shows, then how we can find you?
Well, I am. First of all, my website is michaelgrandinetti.com. It's a big, long Italian name, but it's not that hard. michaelgrandinetti.com. And then on Facebook, I'm Michael Grandinetti. On Twitter, I'm Grandinetti MG. On Instagram, I'm Michael Grandinetti. So I always welcome people to check out our stuff. And if anyone ever has any questions or wants to talk about magic or even has a question about kind of pursuing their own thing, by all means, get in touch. Get in touch. I love to hear from people.
Wow. And we were saying a little bit about charitable events. And I know every artist doesn't like to say a lot about them liking to help in some ways with the art. And Barbara, I understand that your client, big magician, he loves to help. And oh, Michael, tell us. Mm-hmm. You're going to hospitals, you are working sometimes, you know, for free because you believe that your magic needs to be given to people who need in time when they need.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to help everybody as much as they can. You know, I'm a very lucky guy. I get to do what I love to do. If there's any way that I can use what I do to help somebody out, to make somebody happy, I'm happy to do it where and when I can. You know, it's that simple.
And you say children or older people, what is the best audience?
Both. You know, magic, I think, hits a universal audience of all ages, you know, and you know, so it works for everybody. Again, if I could do what I do to kind of make them forget whatever they're going through and just feel that amazement that we all felt as kids and make them happy. You know, it's I love it.
And that's what magic does. And
it really
we
does.
Are so happy having you here in this our show.
Thank you.
Talking with magician is different than watching magician. I am so happy to have a chance to talk to you because the passion that you have for what you do is so real. And is the one of the toughest business, I think, when it comes to entertainment and having staying power and being always on the top of your ideas and doing something new, innovating, something that people didn't see before. What a challenge. I will be having a headache every day. Hopefully you don't have one.
No.
Okay. We love you so much. And for right now, please, everybody, switch in 10 minutes. We'll be on a video channel on LA Talk Radio. Video channel on the radio. Wow. Okay. There's only a few shows that are taping and Accent on TV, the best of Poland and Europe and the rest of the world in 10 minutes. Thank you so much for today. And everybody, bye-bye. That's what we do. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.